welcome to the PeopleCert Quarter One 2023. My name is Caroline, and I'll be your coordinator for today's event. Please note this call is being recorded, and for the duration of the call, your lines will be on listen-only mode. However, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions at the end of the call. This can be done by pressing star one on your telephone keypad to register your questions. If you require assistance at any point, please press star zero and you'll be connected to an operator. I will now hand over the call to your host, Ryan Nicolaides, CEO, Founder, and Chairman, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. This is Byron. I'm the CEO of PeopleCert, for the ones that you don't know me. And together with me is George Ganetsos, our CFO. We are joining from different offices this time. So if you want to address the questions, you can ask the question, and one of us will pick it up accordingly. Going to slide number three on the presentation that we uploaded earlier. The agenda is same as previous times. The key highlights, the business overview, an update on the financials, and then the Q&A session. Moving on, slide number four, key highlights. On the revenue side, our revenues on Q1 2023 were 28 million, up +5% versus Q1 2022. LTM March 2023 was 1% up, 119 million pounds. And if we break this to business and IT and languages, business and IT is +3%, 103 million, and languages is -7% versus December 2022. Important point to address, first of all, at the beginning of this presentation, is that we have completed everything that we have done with the synergies of Axelos, as we said last time in Q4 of 2022. So we are not going to have any further updates on the synergies. We consider this done. Looking on our EBITDA, our Q1 EBITDA was at 16 million pounds, -18% versus Q1 2022. And I'll come and explain those numbers very shortly. LTM March 2023 was at 76 million, -3% versus LTM December 2022, and the margin was at 64%, the EBITDA margin, versus 66% that was LTM December 2022. The net debt to EBITDA end of March was at 218 million. It was 45 million cash versus 52 million as of December 2022. And the net debt was at 2.87 times versus 2.73 that was at the end of the year. Important point to consider here is that in the first quarter of the year, outside of the usual payment for the bondholders, the interest payment, we also had a dividend payment, as well as the acquisition of DevOps, which had a total impact altogether 19 million on our cash position and 11 million if you exclude the interest payment. So a bit of explanation of our numbers. There was a significant impact in Q1 2023 numbers from two factors. First one was January 2022 last year was an extremely strong month because as of February 2022, we had the new commercial policy and the books became mandatory. So people made significant acquisition, and January 2022 was +79% versus January 2021. And also December 2022, again, was an extremely strong month versus December 2021. And this is because people had initiated some price increases in January 2023, so people went and bought more. So from both sizes, from both sides, our Q1 numbers had some type of impact, of pull forward impact, and you can see this in our revenue and EBITDA, and especially in EBITDA, because we have increased expenses this year, positioning the company for 2023, 2024, and 2025. This shows on our EBITDA margin and EBITDA numbers as well. Another important highlight for the Q1 is that we made a significant acquisition, DevOps Institute, which is something very close on what we do. It's a good acquisition and integration we expect to be quite quick by July 2023. We had the rating upgrades from Standard & Poor's and Moody's on April 2023, both at company as at the bond rate, and this followed the upgrade from Fitch on September 2022. A very important update is the official training material, which did not exist until now. This is on this year's budget, and it launched in April 1st, and this is for top three products as planned. Now we'll start seeing the impact on the revenue of this, as you have seen in the books in previous years, and the top three products are around significantly above 50%. Let's not give numbers here. Final, last but not least, 2023 is a year of significant investments, and this is significant initiatives across the company, that now having finished with the synergies, we are changing, we're making significant changes and getting the company ready for the next era, for the coming years. And I'll elaborate on this one shortly. So moving to business overview, let's go to slide number six. On the right side, you can see the revenue, 119 million pounds, LTM March 2023. EBITDA, 76 million. The EBITDA margin is 64%, with an 87% cash conversion, and the net debt versus adjusted EBITDA, 2.87x, with approximately number of exams, 750,000 exams. Of course, as you'll see shortly, the number of exams is going to become, is becoming less and less important after the acquisition of Axellos. So we'll start putting much less emphasis on the number of exams, because there are significant other revenues as well, and putting the exams does not show the complete and the right picture, going forward. By products, you can see what I've just said on the chart on the left, down left side. The exams are 65%, and they used to be 90% before. And then we have online proctoring, 10%. The proprietary content is 15%, and this does not include yet the training material that I just mentioned. The proprietary training material, the official training material, and the other services, 10%. By business line, you can see IT, 64%, project management, 23%, and languages, 13%. Languages are down versus 17% was, and it was a big contract last year that impacted this a little bit. And also, we're coming with new products, and this transition may take a little bit time. I think it's going to be closer to 20% going forward within the year. It's also, there is a seasonality here in March, sorry, in May and June, on language exams. By geography, not much of a change. By channel, you see that our B2C and digital business is increasing, and this will continue to increase. On slide number seven, which is an important slide, this is the same slide that's been here for almost the first presentation after PeopleCert issued the bond. Few things have changed, and I would like here to highlight some important points that are new. One is on point number one, the last phrase. Yes, there is digital transformation on EdTech certification market frameworks, et cetera, and this has to do with global skilling, reskilling, upskilling. This is a trend that exists there. Now, the new thing is artificial intelligence, AI, and AI is further accelerating this trend because the threat of jobs being lost on white collar sector, now it's real. Everybody's talking about this. And this is further supportive tailwind to our business. That's the first one, and it's a new one. Second one is on number four. Our business until now was quite diversified. It was serving one target group, the accredited training organizations, the ATOs, as we call them, with the frameworks like ITU, PRINCE2, and the others. Now, what we are doing within this year, in spite of transformation of PeopleCert, we start addressing other target groups as well, such as accredited academic partners, going straight to the university and to academic partners, and there is revenue created there. The accredited tool vendors, the ATPs, and the accredited consulting partners. And this is a big change and increase of our business going forward. This is important. It can further diversification. And the third one is that number five, the completed merger with Axelos created an IP powerhouse. So our business in PeopleCert has changed. And as I mentioned here, our business going forward will be creating, managing, and monetizing IP. And vertical integration provides further growth potential throughout the entire value chain. Those are the three key changes, I would say, in this classic slide that we have on slide number seven. So IP is the number of the game. That's where PeopleCert is. And going forward, we'll have more things in common with companies like Disney and Netflix than with the educational sector itself. So as a result of the acquisition, our business is about acquiring and creating IP, which is the IP development, the registration and the managing and the protection of IP, which is the IP management, and of course, the marketing and the monetizing, which is the IP monetization. And just to give you an initial view, we go to slide number nine. And what you would see in 2020, excuse me, the exams were 90% of our business, and the 10% was other ancillary services. In 2023, gradually, we're at the point that exams are going to be, or they're already 65%. We expect the percentage of exams to be lower by the end of the year. And you see, we have the online proctory. Last year, we had the official books, which is IP protected. It's our books. ITIL and PRINCE2 are completely IP protected. And this year, we're also having the training materials that started being delivered as of April 1st. And then we have e-learning material and a lot of other stuff coming. So going forward, we'll see the percentage of exams being lower and lower. And that's why we'll start not putting that emphasis on the exams because the number of exams may not be reflecting the real picture going forward. And then, before going to the financial update on number 10, because the business is changing and positioning this, a few things that are happening this year. One is on the new products. We have a completely new edition of Prince 2. It's new, it's out of the box after latest is over 10 years. And this has an impact also on our numbers because when people know that the new Prince 2 is coming, you'll see there is a slowing demand. It's like a car, when you know that the new model of the car is coming, a few months before, you see that the numbers are dropping in the expectation of the new car. On ITIL, we have a new product, especially the 15 practices and the awareness and overview courses on top of foundation. All those changes go across the assessment, the books, the training materials, the e-learning. In languages, again, there's a very big initiative to test the language academic and language in general that have been under development for more than 1.5 years are going to become out in the market. Both Prince 2 and language, all this is for July 1st, so in 45 days. And also all this comes with a lot of translations, localizations for exams, book, etc. So it's a huge project. At the same time, you can see again the academic partner scheme, the tool vendor scheme, the accredited consulting partner scheme, the membership subscription that's going on, and many others that we cannot talk here. So all this is additional monetization going forward, and you'll see that the revenue of PeopleCert is going to be changing in the coming quarters and in the coming years. So essentially, this is the business overview. I'm happy to take questions at the end, and now we're passing to the financials update. George?
Yes. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this call. Quick update on the financial evolution. As we can see, our revenue was up 1% versus last December, but it was 65% higher compared to LTM March 21. Same applies to the EBITDA. EBITDA was 73% up compared to the beginning of our journey. Our CapEx ended up at 10 million, higher 1 million versus December and 4 million versus last year. Despite the increase in the absolute number, though, the percentage remains the same since our revenue is growing equally. And finally, this helped the organization to maintain the high profile of cash generation as in the previous quarters. As the last comment, our total exams for LTM March 23 was at 744,000, 7% down compared to December, but still significantly higher, 62% versus March 21. The key takeout from this slide is that the organization is continuing growing at a fast pace, while at the same time we are maintaining our financial profile with high profitability margins and high cash conversion. We are moving on to a more detailed slide, in slide 13. In the left-hand side, we are discussing the quarterly financials. Revenue was up 5%, while EBITDA was down 3 million at minus 18%. We discussed the reasons briefly, but also we have to keep in mind that the exceptionally strong quarter last year resulted in an EBITDA margin of 73%, which was not sustainable, and for that reason, the EBITDA margin normalized by the end of the year at 67%. Same are the expectations for this year going forward. Another positive point here is that despite the negative difference on the exams volume, we ended up with a higher revenue, and this was driven mainly from the higher prices. Prices were up around 20% across. The reason for this was, first of all, the price list increase from January 1st for an inflationary adjustment. And on top of this, we had a positive development from the translation of the non-British pound revenues to British pound revenues. We had a positive FX income there. And finally, there was another positive income from the product mix and also the geography mix. Moving on the right-hand side, the LTM and, numbers are pretty much similar with minimum variations, both in terms of revenue and profitability, but also in terms of exam volumes. On slide 14, we are discussing the capital structure. Despite the slow start of the Q1, we maintained our net debt to EBITDA ratio below 3. And if we move to slide 15, we can see that we are in the same level, more or less, with last December. If we normalize for the two exceptional outflows we discussed earlier, meaning the DevOps Institute acquisition and the dividend payment, the net debt to adjusted EBITDA equals to 272. Again, this demonstrates the strong financial profile of the organization and the ability to deleverage through organic growth. In the next three slides, we have the consolidated profit and loss account, the balance sheet, and the cash flow statements. All of these are available in our website in the investor relations section, along with a detailed press release for more information. At this point, we are concluding our presentation, and we are moving to the Q&A session.
Sure, thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause just for a moment to allow everyone to signal for questions. We will take the first question from line Christian Wild from FIL. The line is open now. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, it's Christian here with Fidelity. Thank you very much for taking my call. A couple of questions. So first question was on investments. You mentioned 2023 will be a year of investments, and you've laid out the initiatives. So I was wondering if you can give us an update on the absolute amount of, you know, cash required for these investments and the potential margin impact. Second question I had was on the exam growth, so down 7% on an LTM basis. If you can just, like, obviously there are some one-offs, as you explained. If you can give us some idea of the underlying organic growth that you expect in terms of exams. And then I was wondering with respect to pricing, if you can just give an update on pricing trends. Again, what is the trend you see? I mean, after taking into account these variations that obviously had an impact on the reported numbers. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. First of all, the investments as an absolute number, as George said, is not going to move significantly. The reason that we put in investments, or somebody else could put it as transformation, is that we're doing a lot of stuff that short term, it may impact the things that we are doing in the market. For example, as I mentioned earlier, you can see that the Prince 2, it's a very big investment. It's coming to the market, but if you see the Prince 2 numbers exam-wise, they're down. And to some extent, to a degree, this is impacted because of the new product that's coming to the market. And this, to a lesser extent, may impact on the languages market. So this is what we mean by investment. Now, on the big market, on the exams growth, asking our clients, because we are in the market and speaking to them, the big picture seems to be so far that the market more or less is where it was last year. we don't see yet, and hopefully it's not going to be, that the training budgets are being cut so that the numbers going to go down. What we get as information from the market is that last year or the previous years, whatever money you wanted, you got it and no questions asked. The current situation is you still get the money that you're asking for as a training from the training budgets, but there are many more questions asked. But still the budget is there. Of course, this is today and it remains to be seen going forward. But we expect that the numbers will be picking up. Here, the important point on this to keep on Q1 is the very significant impact that we had on Q1 22, both in January 22, as well as at December 22. So the numbers that we're comparing are not real numbers to be compared because it was a strong pull forward effect. I think this somehow is going to be normalized in Q2, and as of Q3, there's still going to be some impact on Q2, and as of Q3 and Q4, we'll go back on the normal trajectory, assuming that there is no recession or big changes in the market. That's the second point. On the pricing increase that we had this year on languages was average 10%, and on business and IT, closer to 14%. Those are inflationary adjustments because people have not made any increase on the prices in the last 3 years, so we adjusted for inflation. And now the impact, the end impact, ended up being a bit higher because of the mix. I mean, people started taking higher value exams, so you can see the difference over there, and also an impact per country and effects, as it seems.
Sorry, can you just repeat the average price increase for the different products? I didn't get that quite.
Language is around 10%, business and IT around 14%.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. That's it for me.
Yes. I hope I gave a satisfactory answer.
Thank you. We will take the next question from line Anna Maggie from PicTech. The line is open now. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Well, thanks for the opportunity to ask questions. So, a couple of questions for me. So, can you please walk again through EBITDA? What was due to the volume impact and what would be the impact maybe from higher costs and how we should think about future EBITDA development given the company transformation and all the efforts you're doing on diversification activities? And then next question is, what would be the future dividend policy? And the last question, maybe you can provide what would you see in terms of the volume impact and how EBITDA would react in case of a recession?
Okay. George, you want to take the first, to pick up the first part?
Yes, sure. If we move back to a previous slide, I can answer this question. Let's move to slide 13. So in the left-hand side, you can see that our EBITDA margin in Q1 last year was 73%. This was not sustainable, and it was unrealistic. It was mainly affected by the huge exam volume in January, as we discussed earlier. Going forward, by the end of the year, this number went down to 67%, which is more or less our normal EBITDA margin. In contrast with last Q1, we had a slow start this year for the reasons we just discussed. Therefore, our EBITDA margin was lower than our average. We started with 57% EBITDA margin, but going forward, we are expecting this number to go up and to be at the 66-67%, which is our historical EBITDA margin. We are not expecting our CapEx to impact our EBITDA. We have to keep in mind that our investment is capitalized in the majority of it. Therefore, it does not affect our EBITDA margins. But equally, it's not expected to affect also our cash generation, since eventually our CapEx is not expected to exceed 10% of our total EBITDA for the year.
On the dividend side, that's the same answer that I gave in Q4 2022. There's probably going to be a small dividend payment, but the decision of the company to continue to reduce the leverage stays intact. Nothing has changed over there. So any dividend payment this year are going to be on the line similar like last year to give you a guidance, although there is no, have not been any internal discussion, but the two partners, FTV and myself, we are fully aligned on anything we're going to do. There's never been any diversion. Now, on the long-term income, and if there is going to be a big recession, etc., I think nobody can answer this question, but we're looking, we're very alert and very careful on what's happening there. I would say that today, I would feel that our, regardless what happens, that our EBITDA margin would start with a 6. It will go up from where it is. Maybe it's not going to be 67. Maybe it's going to be 63, 64. And we will be quite happy with those numbers, considering what's happening elsewhere.
Thanks for the reply. And maybe more about the EBITDA development. So as you, let's say, expand more to the books, e-learning and training material, how would this, let's say, activities have the same EBITDA margins as exams? And then maybe to develop a, go ahead.
A general answer, yes. I mean, we are not going to do things that will impact our EBITDA margin. Oh, that's a very good question. And everything that we are doing, it's going to be high EBITDA. And we have also the membership, etc. So looking at the big picture, and also this is in our business plan as well, that the EBITDA margin, we would be happy as long as it is, starts with the 6.
All right, thank you. And maybe just building up on my last questions on the, let's say, recession scenario, maybe in previous recessions, what was the volume impact?
Minimal. Because lots of companies during the recession, they find this an opportunity to invest further in reskilling and upskilling.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. It appears no further question at this time. I'll hand it back over to your host for closing remarks.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I hope we meet again in the next call, which is going to be a few months from now. All of you have a good weekend. And see you in a few months.
Thank you very much for joining today's call. You may now disconnect.